Psalm 119, verse 18. This is going to be our springboard tonight. We're going to be looking at the doctrine of divine revelation. And going to be doing a study. I don't know how long it'll take, and it doesn't matter. We're just going to plow in and on Wednesday nights, and as the Lord leads on Sunday nights, and plow into this. The first thing I want to say tonight in Psalm 119, verse 18, I think this ought to be a prayer before we do our devotions, before we read our Bible, and even when we pray. This is a prayer, really. Psalm 119, verse 18 said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Have you ever read the Bible and it just seemed kind of humdrum? Maybe the word is boring. Especially there's places in there when you get hung up in genealogies and things like that. But I do want to say tonight, I believe it would change our approach to the Word of God if we would just ask the Lord to open our eyes. And I'll be honest with you, some of the reading programs that just go straight through the Bible, I'm not against that, but I like some of the programs where you read a little bit in the Old Testament, maybe read a little bit in Psalms or Proverbs, and then read a little bit in the New Testament. That keeps you from getting, I guess the word would be bogged down sometimes. You know, you get two or three chapters together, so-and-so begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, and I don't know about you, but I can't even pronounce them names that you have to have a wheelbarrow to haul them around in. But tonight, we're looking at the doctrine of divine revelation. You say, "Pastor, what's that verse got to do with revelation?" Well, the Hebrew word for open here means reveal. God said, "I want you to reveal." The psalmist said, I want you to reveal. Lord, I want you to reveal. Open mine eyes. Reveal the wondrous things out of thy law. Now, we're going to be looking at several things tonight. But the first thing I'm going to look at is in the doctrine of divine revelation is that it is a perfect revelation. It's a perfect revelation. I believe Brother Jason taught on this a little bit last time you preached. It might have been last Wednesday night, brother. But we'll get to this in just a moment. Let's pray together. Father, I pray tonight that you would open our eyes. God, that we'd open our hearts. Lord, that we'd receive what you have for us tonight. Lord, I know this doctrine, as I've studied it, is exciting. And I pray, God, tonight that the spirit of the study will be carried to the pulpit and carried to the pew. Help us tonight, Lord. Peradventure, our Father, there's someone under the sound of my voice that don't know you. I pray, oh God, tonight you'd reveal yourself to them. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'll help us all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's several things here tonight in a perfect revelation that I want to make mention of. Number one is the Scripture. The psalmist said, "Open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." You could say out of the Bible, out of God's Word. The Bible said in Psalm 1 and verse number 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." There really shouldn't be many hours in the Christian's life that something out of this book is not being mulled over in our lives. I'm almost sometimes ashamed. What I mean by this is, as I know that there are people that, you know, they just dig and claw and study, but most of what God gives me, it's not with my Bible open. It's where I'm meditating on something that I've read or something that I've heard. Sometimes, Brother Junior, it's a song that I've heard, and God just makes it so real in my heart that I want to approach that subject. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I will say this to you. The Bible said to young Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. You'll find in your Christian life, I believe, that sometimes the law of the Lord is a delight, and other times it almost gets to be a drudgery. It's the difference between something I have to do and something I get to do. I can remember, this is probably a crude illustration, but I think it illustrates my point. When my dad moved into a subdivision years ago in Edgewood, Maryland, we had cedar shakes on the front of the house. That whole subdivision, there was probably every fifth or sixth house had those type cedar shakes on them. When we left that subdivision and Dad sold that house, those shakes looked as good or better than they did, Brother Junior, when they were brand new. And the reason for that was this. Every spring, Dad took a 4-inch brush and put linseed oil on those shakes. He said, what's that got to do with this subject tonight? I want you to know, when I was 12, 13 years old, I would ask my dad, Dad, can I help you? Can I help you? He said, why, yes, son, you can help me. Because I could get down behind the bushes, Brother Chris, and take that stuff. You couldn't mess it up, amen. You could have took a bucket and just poured it up like that on it. So I'd get down behind the bushes and help my dad. In other words, it was something I wanted to do. It was something I desired to do. It was something I was enjoying doing. And then when I got to be 14, I'm speaking of Chance now, 15. Are you with me? Was there a time when you couldn't wait to mow the grass? And then a time when, oh my goodness, we got to mow the grass again. I mean, and I believe if we're not careful, it happens that way in our approach to the Bible. We don't delight in it the way that we once did. And so let's just go on. It's a perfect revelation that Scripture reveals. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, the Word of God said, who walk in the law of the Lord. And then I want you to think about this. Matthew 11, 27, Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So we don't only have the Scripture, beloved, that is revealing to us. It's a revelation to us through the Scripture, but there's a revelation that comes through the Son. I'm going somewhere with this. Herbert Lockyer said this. He said, modernism is destitute of soul winning, because it teaches the imperfection of the Word of God. Think about that for just a moment. In other words, if you can't have any confidence in this book, why would you be running around sharing it with everybody? Amen? And so I believe that when we know the Scripture is right and God is revealing through the Scripture, He's revealing through the Son, then He's revealing through the Spirit. The Word of God said, but as written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but they're revealed unto us by His Spirit. That's one of the reasons it's so important for the child of God not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, not to quench the Holy Spirit of God. If He's grieved in our life, and if He's quenched in our life, then He's not going to be doing a lot of revealing in our life. But if we're walking with Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So I've said this before, and I think it's worthy of repeating. When you run into what we call a problem text, you know what, you just what they call a problem text. It just, I think sometimes it's just deeper than we're willing to go, amen, or than we're able to go at the time. And I've done that many times, and Brother Chris, went to the commentaries. And you know what I found out? They skipped it too, amen. But you know what I have done, and I mean this, I've just gotten out of my chair and said, Lord, you wrote this book. And if there's something you want to show me, Lord, you show me, amen. I always know there's never a problem with the book. if there's a seeming problem, it's with me. It's with my understanding. And so you've got the revelation that's taken place. It's perfect because it's coming out of the Scripture. It's perfect because it's taken place through the Son. It's perfect because it's taken place through the Spirit of God. And then, just for the sake of alliteration, I said the Sovereign, or you could say the Father. Listen to this text in Matthew 16, 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist." And let me just ask you this for a moment. What would it be like to have your name in this list? In other words, Jesus said, who are people saying that I am? What would it be like for somebody to say, why, you're Junior Taylor? Well, I know that's a stretch, but you listen to me just a minute. John the Baptist must have lived a whole lot like Jesus was living. Am I right or am I wrong? Are you John the Baptist? Some say you're Elijah, Elias, another Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. These men walked with God, and they were having a hard time figuring out who Jesus was. And so they're asking this question. Now watch this. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" The question tonight is not who the world says he is. Who do you say he is? Who is he to you? And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou," watch this now, "Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." What I'm wanting you to see tonight is the Scripture, the Spirit, the Son of God, and the Sovereign God the Father are all working hand in hand. This whole book is to reveal our need and his willingness to meet that need. It starts in the book of Genesis. That scarlet thread goes all the way through the Bible. And God is trying to reveal to us. The Bible said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The night my pastor was preaching, I couldn't even tell you what he preached. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The Scripture and the Spirit and the Son of God and the Sovereign God the Father, they revealed to me, big time, you're a sinner and you stand in need of the Savior. We can preach till we turn blue in the face. We can speak to people's ears. We can speak to people's intellect. But I'm talking about a revelation tonight that is divine, that only God can reveal to the heart of man. I'm glad I know that happened in my life. I'm glad it made a difference. He said, "I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Amen. And so tonight, the doctrine of divine revelation, first thing I want to say about it is that it is a perfect revelation. Nothing wrong with the revelation. The second thing I want to say tonight is it is a personal revelation. Personal. On the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people that got saved. But can I tell you how they got saved? One person. One Savior. Amen. Watch this now. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 25, "At the time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent." I've had people tell me in years gone by, "Well, I'm just trying to figure it all out." And I'm going to tell you right now, I've told them all. You ever get to where you can figure God out, he'd be a mighty little God. The Bible said here, "Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." No wonder Jesus said, "Suffer ye the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God." I can't get over what Brother C.T. Townsend said in that tent meeting. I believe it was last year or the year before. He said, nowhere in the Bible does it say that a child has to believe like an adult. But it does say an adult has to believe like a child. Think about that for just a moment. I tell you, I was helpless that night. I knew where to run for help, though. When I was a little kid, I had a wonderful father, earthly father. And when I needed help, I knew where to run for help. And when I saw myself lost without God, I knew where to run for help. There's a Savior that's willing to help. Isaiah 53, verse 1, I'm talking about a personal revelation. The first part of this right here, he's revealing his son to me. Watch this. It's going to get good and gooder. Isaiah 53, verse number 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Brother Ralph, I thought about Brother Fred this afternoon when I looked at that, because there's a song that said God reached way below the bottom for me that night. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, listen. When a person understands their need, the only way to have that need met is God has to reveal his mighty arm. You can't pick yourself up out of the muck and the mire. But there's a Savior in heaven, amen, that can pick us up, set our feet on a solid rock, establish our going, and put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The songwriter said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea. Glory to God, that brought back something else right there. If it be thou, Lord, bid me come unto thee under the water. Jesus said, come. Old Peter, he got out of the boat. People criticized Peter, but I like people to get out of the boat. Say amen. He got out. Ain't none of the rest of them can say they walked on water. Amen. He started towards Jesus, took his eyes off of Jesus, got his eyes on the storm. And he began to sink. How many believes there was a mighty arm? Amen. He wasn't going down. Amen. Lord, save me. Here comes Jesus right on time. Now, not only does he reveal his son to me, he revealed how holy he is. The Bible said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He did not only reveal how holy that he is, but he revealed how sinful that I was. You see, I believe that's what conviction is. I'm not trying to be critical, but listen, the Bible don't say you have to cry to get saved. It does not say you have to weep to be saved. But it does say that God will draw nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. I believe our will has to be broken when we come to Jesus. Amen. That's why I won't argue the point, but knowing what I already knew, I believe that night when I made that first step, it was over. The rest of it was a formality. What I did was surrender my will to his. What I did is what Brother Mitchell said. I took sides with God against myself. Amen. And I needed the Savior. Not only does he reveal how holy he is and the righteousness of God is revealed, but he reveals how sinful we are, because the Bible said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. I'm telling you tonight, in the doctrine of divine revelation, I saw myself in trouble with a thrice holy God. I wasn't going to heaven. I was going to hell. And I thank God tonight that I can stand here tonight and say, I'm going to heaven because he revealed himself to me. Amen. Now, I want you to see this, and I don't want you to miss this tonight. We're talking about it's a personal revelation, how that God revealed himself to us. But I want to give you something right here. Here's what God wants to do now, after that we've trusted him as our Savior. Brother Jason, He wants to reveal Himself through us. I got scripture for that. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. I think I can quote the scripture, but the Bible said, "Let your light so shine before men." Now that light is nothing that we produced. That light, let your light, is just that you've come to Jesus. Now Jesus lives on the inside of you. Let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the Son of God not revealing Himself now to us. That's already happened. But He's revealing Himself to a lost and dying world through us. Think about that. Let's look at the scripture tonight in Galatians chapter number 1. I'll start reading in verse number 11. In Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 11, Paul said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He's talking about the Damascus Road here. "For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals and mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace," watch this, "to reveal His Son in me." Brother Chris, what if we got up every morning and said, "God, thank you for revealing yourself to me. God, would you help me to live today in such a way that you could reveal yourself through me?" It could just be an act of kindness. It could be a kind word. There are just all kinds of ways. It could be a gospel witness. He said, "to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen." He said, "immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." He didn't go asking questions of men. What do you think about this? "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into the desert in Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." He went back. Oh, I just saw that. He went back where it all started, didn't he? Amen. "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that He which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which He once destroyed." Did you know tonight we didn't persecute Christians? But I'm telling you tonight, when we were lost in sin, we were not promoting the gospel. We were not promoting the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a change that took place. The Bible said they had heard only that He which persecuted us in times past, now they're going to see it, the faith which was once destroyed. And the Word of God said, "and they glorified God." I want you to look at that, those last two words. In me. In me. You say, "Pastor, I don't understand how that God could get glory." That's what He wants to do out of our life. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world." My wife used to make what we call Jell-O jigglers. You got a mold. You mix up some stuff and you put it in there and you put it in the refrigerator. And then you turn it upside down and it comes out shaped like the mold. I liked those things when I was a kid. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The world has a mold. It wants to mold you and I into that mold. And our Savior has a mold. Our Savior's mold is making us more like Him. The world's mold is making us more. You say, Pastor, what's the difference? I'll tell you what's the difference. The doctrine of revelation. God wants to reveal Himself to us, but then He wants to reveal Himself through us. Amen. And what a blessing that is. It's a personal revelation. Thirdly tonight, it's a powerful revelation. The doctrine of divine revelation. Not only is it perfect, not only is it personal, but it's powerful. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. You just have to turn over a few pages here. Ephesians chapter number 3. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Again, the example of the Apostle Paul. In verse number 1, he said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God," I mean, he's glad you heard of that, "which is given me to you word, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words." Can you imagine tonight if we didn't have the epistles of Paul? We would be missing a lot in church doctrine. And we'll be going over that at some point. We'd be missing a whole lot. But here, he said, "By revelation He made known unto me the mystery." And you know, we know about the mystery of the second coming, of the change that's going to take place in our body, whether we're alive when Jesus comes or whether we're in the grave when Jesus comes. "Whereby when you read, that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now," here's the word again, "revealed unto us," or unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. I was preaching in a prison years ago in Missouri, and God blessed the message and God blessed the service. And there was an old preacher that walked up to me and he said something to me nobody else has ever said, Brother Jason. He said, "Is that something you come up with or is that something he come down with?" Do you understand the difference? What Paul is telling us here, this is not something I come up with. It's something he come down with. That's what Paul is talking about here. And this, he revealed it to the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Think about that. God grafted us in, called the Apostle Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles, even though he had such an intense burden for his fellow Jew. "And the same body, partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I'm made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power." This is a powerful revelation. In the Bible said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God." Watch this. "Who created all things by Jesus Christ." There's several religions running around today that teach that Jesus is created. That's false doctrine. Jesus is not created. He's the Creator. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you jot down to verse number 14, you'll find out what verse number 1 was talking about. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's why your pastor has a problem with versions that take begotten out of John 3:16. Watch what he said here. I'm less than the least of all the saints. He said to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in Christ, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see the power in this revelation. You see it in the creation that's expounded here in this text. And you see the power in conversion, how that Paul's life was changed in this text. And then you see the power in the church of the living God, in verses number 10 down through verse number 12. That was the eternal purpose of God. Tonight, I was reminded as I was studying, and some of you have probably heard this, but I was reminded of the story that I read years ago about a man that was testifying at the Salvation Army. That man was giving his testimony about the change, the conversion, he was born again. God saved him. And a man in the back of the crowd, as this man was testifying, he began to heckle the man. "Sit down, old man. Shut up, old man. You don't know what you're talking about, old man. You're dreaming, old man." Said about that time, a little boy pulled on his coattail. He said, "Mister," he said, "that's my daddy up there." He said, "My daddy used to drink. My daddy used to beat my mama." He said, "I would run and hide under the bed." He said, "Mister, if my daddy's dreaming, please don't wake him up." I'm going to tell you something tonight. Paul knew that this change that comes about when a person meets Christ and God reveals himself to an individual. And not only reveals himself, but he reveals ourselves. He reveals exactly what we are. When that happens, it's powerful. Think about this. There was a supernatural creation whose crown and consummation was man. There's a supernatural revelation whose crown and consummation is the Bible. There's a supernatural incarnation whose crown and consummation is Jesus, our Lord. And there's a supernatural indwelling whose crown and consummation is the blessed Holy Spirit of the living God. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm standing here tonight thankful. I could still be on my way to hell without God. But somebody told me the truth. God used the preaching. The scripture talks about the foolishness of preaching. To the world, it's foolishness. God used the Bible. God used the scripture. He used the Spirit. He convinced me that night that he loved me. When I looked in the mirror, what I saw was unlovable, but not to him. He loved me, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. We're going to get into the rest of this lesson later on.